Thanks for staying for my presentation. So my name is Tara Babu, and I am an infectious disease physician at the University of Rochester in Rochester, New York. And I am going to be presenting a report on the clinical experiences we've had with pre-exposure prophylaxis at our public STD clinic in Monroe County. First, I'd like to take a moment to acknowledge my co-authors, Marguerite Urban, Patricia Corey Doniger, Donna Schulman, who's here, and Vanessa Johnson. So first, I'd like to acquaint you with Rochester, New York. We are the third largest city in New York State. That is after, of course, New York City and Buffalo, according to the 2010 census. We have about 210,000 people in our city population and about 1 million people in the Western New York region. We are at the south shore of Lake Ontario, so we're as close as it gets to Canada, and we get a lot of snow. As a Rochesterian, we are very proud of Abby Wambach, our gold medalist soccer player. And sadly, we root for the Buffalo Bills, hoping they get to the Super Bowl this year. We're also the birthplace of Kodak, Bosch, Nawam, and Xerox, which gives us an interesting immigrant population. We have immigrants from sub-Saharan Africa, parts of Asia, Eastern Europe. We also have a Puerto Rican population and Jamaican American. The STD clinic itself really caters to an urban population, though. So this is from the New York Department of Health website, and it's a prevalence map of HIV and AIDS by county. The way they plotted it was excluding prison inmates and including prison inmates. But the reason I wanted to draw attention to this is to show that Rochester has pretty much the same prevalence as other upstate New York cities. Here's Buffalo, Syracuse, Albany, and this is Rochester right here. And we're somewhere between 200 to 300 people who are infected with HIV or AIDS per 100,000 population. And this is our clinic. We see about greater than 12,000 visits per year, which is an average of 50 to 60 patients per day. We are an urban walk-in clinic, and we are primarily nursing-based. We have a permutation of everywhere between 2 to 3 NPs working per day and 2 to 3 nurses who see patients. We also have a lab tech who is supplied by ACM Labs, who does rapid RPRs, rapid HIV testing, wet preps, gram stains, and we also have the ability to do dark field microscopy in our clinic. We also have 2 staff members currently who are dedicated to prep services, and we have 1 nurse who does follow-up on labs for patients. So this is the criteria we use for prep counseling. So basically, any patient who comes to our STD clinic in the waiting room receives passive information and education on what PrEP is. They receive a handout. But then we do have a targeted population that we target based on our criteria that's been modified for what we test for rapid HIV testing in our clinic. So contact to HIV, cases in contact to syphilis, MSM, bisexual, IV drug users, patients who have sex for money or drugs, and GC repeaters, and also partners of these patients. So in 2014, Governor Cuomo proposed the End the AIDS Epidemic in New York State. And basically, part of the 3-point plan was to increase access to PrEP services. So what that meant for our clinic is that we actually received a grant from the New York State AIDS Institute. So in November of 2014, we received funding to link patients to PrEP services. And what that really meant is it was an active referral. We had a staff member who would call, make the appointment for the patient, call, remind the patient to go to the appointment, and then call to find out if the patient actually went to the appointment. We then had a modification of our grant in April of 2016 of this year, where we were able to start PrEP services in our STD clinic. So before I show you the data, I just want to describe what exactly I mean when I say accept services for PrEP and also attending the first appointment. So for accepting services to PrEP, this is the form that we actually give patients when they accept PrEP services. And we get their name, their demographic information, and whether or not they have insurance. And then they are referred for a clinical evaluation. If they make it to the clinical evaluation, that would be somebody who made it to their first appointment. So this is from November 2014 to August 31 of this year. And basically, overall, 36% of patients who were counseled for PrEP in our clinic either went to care or to our STD clinic accepted PrEP services. But to further break this down, the blue are patients who were counseled prior to us rolling out PrEP in our clinic, and the purple on the right are patients who were counseled and accepted PrEP after we rolled out PrEP in our clinic. And you can see 31% of patients who accepted PrEP and linkage to care, of those counseled, accepted PrEP. Well, in our clinic, 42% who were counseled accepted PrEP. It is a substantial percentage difference, and it's actually higher now that we have more information. But the thing to note is that this group of patients was over an 18-month period, and this group of patients has been over the past 5 months in our STD clinic. To further break that down, patients who accepted PrEP prior to the STD PrEP services and after the STD clinic PrEP services, those who made it to the first appointment were 52% out of those who were referred prior to us rolling out PrEP. And we see a similar percentage of those who came to their first appointment and clinical evaluation at the STD clinic from those that were referred. Thing to note here is the immense drop-off. So basically, 100 patients accepted PrEP at our clinic, 87 of them accepted an in-house referral, 13 of them went to outside facilities either due to their preference or due to not meeting our criteria for PrEP, and 48% of those patients actually made it to their first appointment, and the issues there were insurance and also communicating with these patients and getting them to come back to clinic. So once we actually got them to go to the clinical eval, 33 of the 42 patients are on PrEP. Looking at the sexual preference of the patients who are on PrEP, the majority of them are MSM. We do have some females who are commercial sex workers. We also have some male heterosexual who have contact with some of the commercial sex workers, or who there have been one or two of them who are IV drug users. A breakdown of the MSM patients are that we have 48% who are white and 36% are black. This has been a traditionally difficult group to engage on PrEP, but our clinic has been doing fairly well. And the age on PrEP, the majority of the patients are between the ages of 18 and 30. Unfortunately, over this period of time from 2014 to now, we have unfortunately had 6 cases of patients seroconvert to HIV prior to accepting PrEP and starting on PrEP. The median age of these patients were around 23 years old. 6 out of these patients were male. Half of them were black. Half of them were white. 4 of them identified themselves as MSM, and 2 of them identified themselves as bisexual. The average partners per year of these patients was 14, and the average partners over the past 3 months was 3. So what are the barriers to PrEP? I think you've heard them at some of the other discussions at our conference, but really health insurance. It's not only just a lack of health insurance, but even some of these patients who are insured, we have difficulty with copays and high deductibles and getting them on PrEP. We've also had issues with missing records for insurance and non-functional contact information. Sometimes we get phone numbers and we call the patients, but we're not able to get in touch with them. There have also been a couple patients with non-disclosure issues. Some of them have actually been on family insurance, and it's been difficult to engage them. So the overall conclusions from my presentation are that really STD patients are interested in receiving PrEP at our clinic. There were more patients proportionally who accepted PrEP services at the STD clinic than those that were counseled and linked to care. And I think as evidenced by the 6 seroconversion patients, we are engaging a high-risk population for HIV acquisition. And I think the lessons that we've really learned so far are that we have now 2 dedicated personnel to PrEP services, and all of our staff members do counsel on PrEP. But it is important to really have people who can be dedicated to PrEP services, to contact these patients, and to really persevere with them. Every story has been different. We've been trying to find patterns with insurance, but every insurance issue is very individualized to each of these patients. And like I said, insurance really is the largest barrier. The additional benefit that we've actually had is that we've linked patients to primary cares. So this young population of patients that we're seeing, we have been able to get them primary care physicians as well, which has been an additional benefit. And the last thing I would say is that our clinical evaluation now has changed. We're actually trying to do it on the same day when a patient accepts PrEP. If they have insurance, we get them in, we get the labs, we get them when they're there, and we try to link them to PrEP it. Because the less appointments that these patients have, I think it really enhances PrEP compliance. Lastly, I'd just like to say that the implementation of this program was, again, in funded part by a grant from the New York State AIDS Institute. Thank you.
I was very excited to see this because I'm from Buffalo.
Oh, great.
So, great presentation.
Buffalo Bills.
I'm not a fan of the Bills, though.
That's okay. I'm actually a Steelers fan, but I didn't want to say that.
Quick question. Do you have any barriers, because being from Buffalo, I know that a lot of people travel to and from Rochester to party. Do you have any barriers with linking those partners that may be out of the Monroe jurisdiction to PrEP?
That is a great question. Actually, I'm looking at Donna right now. He was one of our PrEP champions at our clinic. And So
County has a PrEP program too.
Oh, awesome. And I knew a Binghamton was at our clinic last week. Somebody from Binghamton as well, right? But what Donna just said is that we are counseling patients who are interested in PrEP to really have these discussions with their partners about PrEP services.
Thank you.
Hi, Julie Schillinger, New York City and CDC.
Hi.
I have one request for clarification and one question.
Sure.
I wasn't sure I understood the chronology of those HIV seroconversions. Were those after you offered them PrEP and before they linked to care?
Or no, so all six of them were patients who were being counseled, and out of the six, five of them did not want PrEP, so they did not accept. Mm-hmm. And then they ended up being positive. I think two of them were patients who actually were being counseled and then ended up being HIV positive during that visit. So, oh, go ahead. Right. So that wasn't their first visit, but it was repeated. Right. One of them actually had missed his appointment to an outside facility. He had been linked, and he was out of town. And then about two months later, he was positive for HIV.
Wow.
So that was
seropositive.
Yeah.
Wasn't an
HIV. He was seropositive for HIV. So it was a real missed opportunity, unfortunately.
Okay. Thank you. And my other question, though. Have you seen an uptick in patient visits? Is this drawing in a high-risk population from what you've experienced?
I don't know if it's really drawing in any more patients, but there are people who are coming in who know about PrEP. I think social media and, you know, education and awareness of PrEP has definitely been increasing. We are seeing that. I've had patients come into clinic and actually ask me about PrEP, and they had known about it already from Facebook, Twitter, and everything else. Yeah.
I think we are having a greater number of MSN coming out by word of mouth. And really
right. And like you can see, the majority of the patients we are engaging on PrEP right now are the MSN population.
Hi, Harold Weisenfeld from the University of Pittsburgh in Allegheny County. Thank you for a lovely presentation. Just one point of clarification. I wasn't completely sure about this. I see that a high percentage of your prep starts kind of stayed within the clinic and weren't referred out, and then you made a comment about if they had insurance, we did their lab tests right away. Does your county health department bill insurance providers for services?
Good
Is that
question.
A yes?
Yes.
Oh, great. Wow. Okay. Yeah. So that explains some of the data. So you're keeping your patients within your program rather than referring them out to other providers.
Well, we are offering it. We are offering that they can go to other programs. You know, one of them is University of Rochester.
Right.
We have an ID clinic there.
But you guys bill, so you can recoup some of the costs of your prep.
We can, but we can also cover some of the costs too. So we do cover in our clinic some of the testing.
Will you cover them if they have private insurance?
No.
If they're insured, you won't.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks, Marie.
Thanks for the presentation. Lots of good take-home points. I'm Chris. I'm with the Maricopa County Department of Public Health in Phoenix. I just had a question and clarification. I heard that there were several patients who were counseled prior to seroconversion. Are those patients who came in with previous STD histories? Were they patients that were just coming in for PrEP alone?
No, that's a great question. Due to the time period, I wasn't able to show it, but there are several of these patients who came in with STDs, actually. And it's not a very high percentage that just come in for a PrEP, but it's more coming in for STD services, coming in for screening, and then we have targeted that population because they are high risk for HIV acquisition.
Okay. Thank you.
I thank all of our presenters.